Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Woo, good, good, good. Excited that you've joined us for worship this morning. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. And we're not going to spend a ton of time. We're just messing around. We're just going to get right back into it. But just do want to say, if you're a guest with us today, we're so glad you're here. So glad you've joined us for worship. If some of you guys are regulars around here looking around, maybe not seeing your neighbor that you normally see, we've got a lot of our students, a lot of our student leaders, and the volunteers are over at our other campus this morning. Our youth had an encounter weekend, and so we flip back and forth every year for where the students go at the end of that encounter, and a lot of those students and volunteers are across on our other campus. But just so excited that I know that there's been a great time for them to encounter Jesus this weekend, and you're in luck because there's a great opportunity for you to encounter Jesus this morning right here as well. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're just going to continue in our time of worship. So if you would, just join us in prayer. Father, we look to you, and we're just excited we can gather with your people, Lord Jesus. Certainly, we know that we carry you with us as followers of you in our hearts wherever we go. But when we come together, Lord, we know that is, Scripture tells us that that's attractive to you. That when your people come together in one accord and join in worship, your word says that you're enthroned upon those praises. So, Lord, we are excited about that today. And, Lord, we know that you are here in our midst, moving. And so as we continue in our time of worship through song, Lord, we just invite your presence just to speak to our hearts today, Lord Jesus, that we would have an encounter and a new, fresh anointing from you today, Lord God. And we bless you, we honor you, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been kind of, over the last few weeks, we've been kind of going back and pulling up some older songs that we used to do some time ago. But I think I mentioned last week how songs can be what I like to call a stone of remembrance. I likened it to the idea in the Old Testament when the Israelites would go, when they would do something memorable, the Lord would do something good for them, they would build an altar. And every time they passed by that, because if you don't know, there's not a whole lot of places they went. It was a very, very small area over time that they traveled around. But when they would go past that altar, they would remember what the Lord has done for them. And I shared last week how I think a lot of times for us in modern times, songs can be that for us. And so so for me, like doing some of these older songs are bringing back a lot of memories of places that the Lord moved in my life at the time I was originally first doing that. I don't know about you, but I love to think back on what the Lord has done, and those songs just kind of trigger those memories for me. So anyway, Lord, as we continue our time of worship, Father, we just pray that you would receive worship from your kids, Lord, that we would honor you with our voices, Lord, with our hearts and with our minds, Lord Jesus. Lord, because you truly are worthy, Lord, we give you glory. Jesus, we look to you, Lord Jesus, because you are high and exalted. You are the worthy one, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory in this place, Father. Lord, we lift up around this room, I know there's all kinds of needs and situations, Lord. We just lift them all to you today, Father. We give you glory for meeting those needs, Lord, and we give you glory for being in those difficult times with us, Father. Lord, we know that when we walk with you, that you said we will encounter hard times, Lord. Not we may, but we will. But regardless of that, Lord, you walk with us through those things, Lord Jesus. And you help us, Lord. And you take those things, and some, even though the enemy may have meant those hard times to harm us, Lord, you take those things and use them for our good. So, Lord, all across this room, Lord, whatever the situation is, Lord, whether it be a physical ailment, Lord Jesus, or mental illness, Lord, or just emotional healing needs to take place, Lord, we lift those up to you, Father. Whether there's financial needs, Lord, we lift those up to you, Lord. All the things, Father, we just give them all to you and give you glory for moving those situations, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all those who are here, Lord. Thank you for all of our students and volunteers across town at our other campus. Pray that you would just be with everyone today, Father. We give you glory. And everyone said, Jesus, amen. You guys can have a seat. While Ashley's on her way up here, I just want to mention that you have an opportunity to continue your worship through your giving. We take that very, very seriously here. We believe it's a part of our worship that we give cheerfully unto the Lord. We're excited about the opportunity to do that. Just want to take just 1 second and pray over all of our finances.
It's heavy.
It's
table's kind of heavy.
I had a really awesome thing going there. The table is evidently heavy. I'm going to pray over your finances real quick. Father, we're so in awe of you, Lord Jesus, and just the way that you make provisions, Lord, sometimes even when it doesn't seem like there's a way. So we're grateful, Lord Jesus, that you take what we have, Lord, and you multiply it, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we give online, as we give in the baskets or the buckets outside on the walls, Lord, or however we give, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would take that and use it for your ministry, Lord. Lord, not just to make the lights work and the PA work and all that stuff, but Lord, that your kingdom would be administered to because of that, Father. We pray over the finances of all of our people, Lord God. Pray that you would give them opportunities to increase, Lord Jesus, so they can increase in your kingdom, Father. Pray blessings and prosperity over everyone, all those that have. That have jobs, Lord, and have businesses. We pray that you would just increase those, Lord Jesus, that they would have opportunity to sow into your kingdom, Lord God. We bless you, we honor you, we give you glory, Jesus. Amen.
First thing, before the kiddos get dismissed, since I'm teaching the grown-ups today, Miss Erin, Maddie's mom, is going to teach the kiddos. She has some bracelets for you. These are going to be, we did the pet project last month where you guys had the pets you took home and read your Bible to. I think Matt's going with her. Matt's going to teach too, it looks like. For Lent, we have a little giveaway. We have a cross bracelet here. And so sometimes Lent is a little hard for the kiddos to understand giving something up. And so this little card that comes with their bracelet says, wear your bracelet every day until Easter to remind you to use kind words instead of hurtful words, be patient instead of whiny, have joy instead of anger, think of others first instead of yourself, and share Jesus with others. So if giving something up for Lent is a little hard for those kiddos to grasp, then maybe they can give up some of those things and focus on Jesus and the things that we learn about in children's worship that he teaches us to do. So Miss Erin has these bracelets for you guys. Make sure you bring the card back to your parents so they can help hold you accountable. And kiddos, y'all are dismissed to go to children's worship. One other thing I wanted to talk about before we get started. Next Saturday, we have a really cool mission project coming up. It's called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And it is an organization that was started by some kids, some college kids. And it is to keep every child in Lubbock County off of the floor, every foster child in Lubbock County. And when kids get placed in homes in emergency situations, there's often not the means that they need to be able to sleep on the bed in those homes, to sleep in a bed on those homes. And so they're going to be building at Central next Saturday from 8 to 2. And if you got the flyer, the brochure, the date and the location are on there. But it is assembly line style, so you can come and go as you need to. You don't have to show up at 8, and you don't have to stay until 2. It's come and go. And if you are like me and you're like, I am not handy at all, you have one job, and you sit on the assembly line, and you do that one job, and it's something anyone can do. And so if you're interested in that, there's some information on our website. You can also Google Sleep in Heavenly Peace if you want to check out more about that mission. Or you can catch me or Dallas after worship, and we'd be happy to tell you more about it. All right. So I've got a lesson, a teaching, whatever you want to call it. I hesitate to use the word sermon because I don't think I'm quite qualified enough to use that word. And I feel a little bit better about it when I call it a teaching. So So I just want to give credit before I start that a lot of these ideas were not mine. I took these from a book that actually several ladies in the church were doing a book study on, and it's by Dr. Dalton Smith. And so this is actually several ideas that I have borrowed from her and then added to. So I just want to give credit where credit is due, that not all of these ideas are mine, that Dr. Dalton Smith had some great things about what I'm going to talk about today. So first thing is we're going to talk about reflection and refraction. And so the first thing we're going to talk about is reflection, which we're all pretty familiar with. You can look in the mirror and see your reflection. The definition of physical reflection is a mirror image bounced back from another surface. And so mirrors are commonly what we think of, but we also see reflection in God's creation. If you saw any of the teasers on Facebook this week, there were some pretty lakes with reflection. There was, I think it was the Mojave Desert with some reflection happening. And so physical reflection is actually all around us in God's creation. There's also mental reflection, which is looking back at a situation or an experience. And so we'll talk a little bit about both today. And so the question I'm going to start with to pose is, when we look at our image, do we reflect God? Does our image reflect God? And when you think about that, like, to me, that's like very frightening and kind of feels like a heavy burden, that our image that we are made in should reflect God. But I was saying that his image shows up in creation. It shows up in all of creation. So it's not just in the mountains and the trees reflected on a lake. It's also in us and how we are reflected to others. And so the image of God being reflected, it doesn't come from memorizing scripture. It doesn't come from reciting scripture to people. It doesn't come from checking the box of, I showed up at 10:30 on Sunday morning. I did that. Yes, good job, me. While that's good, that's not where it comes from either. It doesn't even happen from teaching Sunday school to little kids. That's not where the reflection of God shows up in our lives. So what the reflection of God is a desire to love well. A desire to love well, to love God well, to love others well. And so it's how well we give and receive his love in our lives. That's how we reflect God. How well we give and receive his love. So, I'm going to start with what it's not, and then we'll go to what actually is the reflection of God's love. So what can keep us from reflecting God's love is all the things that we get caught up in our daily lives. Apathy, indifference, busyness, things that seem important to us in the day-to-day, okay? Our own messes, our work, all of our things that we just face day after day after day, those are the things that can stop us from having the reflection of God in our lives. And the more we let those things keep us away from reflecting God, the more indifferent we feel and the more distant we feel from God. And so we are actually creating that distance ourselves when we feel distant from God, but we often feel like he's left us. But the truth is it's us letting worldly things get in the way of our distance from him. And so we're not abandoned by God. We're focusing on what we reflect, and that's not him. We're focusing on different things. And so when this happens, what actually is taking place is refraction. And so refraction is different from reflection because refraction isn't bouncing back that same image. It's not that mirror image. It's changing or distorting the image. And so you can see this arrow is pointing one way. And when we refract, and if y'all can't see it, there is a picture. But when we refract, it changes the direction of that arrow, and it goes the other direction. And so refraction is what happens when we let the world take over and we don't look at the reflection of God. We don't see ourselves in God's image anymore, and our perspective shifts from God's will to our will. And So we begin refracting the image of God. And so that's when we feel impatient with other people. We feel snappy, maybe a little judgy. These are the things I'm thinking about that I do myself when I'm kind of in the refraction and not reflection. I get irritable. I snap at kids. I snap at coworkers, husband, things like that. So that's when I'm refracting and not reflecting God's image. But we're going from God's will for us to our will for ourselves. Matt said last week, prayer going from thy will to my will, our actions are going from God's will for us to our own will. We're living that out by ourselves. Another example of that would be like funhouse mirrors. So y'all know the mirrors, like they make you like really short and squatty, or they make you like real tall and stretched out. And so if you think about your life as one of those mirrors, like if the only mirror that you ever looked at was a mirror where you looked short and squatty, and that was the only mirror that you ever saw your reflection in, how would you start to think about yourself? How would your image of yourself feel if that was the only mirror you looked in? Is that one that made you feel short and squatty? It might change the image that you see yourself in all the time. You might not feel as good about yourself if that was how you looked all the time that you saw your own image. Same thing though, if you think about the mirror that's tall and thin, and what society tells us we should look like, right? And so if that was the only mirror that you saw yourself in all the time, what would you think about yourself if you looked like that image all the time? It's not the true reflection of who you are, and it changes your perspective because it's refracting and it's changing how you see yourself. And so we have to look in the right mirror. We have to look at the right image, and that's the reflection of God that we have to look like. So it's all about how the light gets reflected. And so we see examples of this in Scripture in lots of places. And so this is 2 Corinthians 3:18, and this is from the translation that Matt likes to use. He uses that NASB translation. And so it says, "But we all, with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror at the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." The children's pastor in me needs to break that down a little bit. So I'm going to use the NIR version. If y'all can put the first part of that up again. So in the NIR version is what we teach the kids to use words that they're familiar with. And so while that one's up, I'm going to read that one. And so y'all can see how the language compares. But it says, "None of our faces are covered with a veil. All of us can see the Lord's glory and think deeply about it. So we are being changed to become more like him so that we have more and more glory. And this glory comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit." And so when you break that down, it says we can see the Lord's glory, we can think deeply about it, we can change to that, and then that's when we can reflect that in our lives. And then we have the help of the Lord, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. We just have to turn away from the worldly things and focus on him. So like I said, there's so many examples of Scripture in this. And so the first one, if you think about when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, he came back down and Scripture says his face was shining because he had spoken with the Lord, but he didn't even realize it. And so he had had an encounter with the Lord on top of the mountain and he came back down and he didn't even know that he looked different. He went up there, his face came down, he was shining, and the other people saw it, but he didn't even know. But he was reflecting that encounter with God. In Matthew, when Jesus goes up on the mountain with a few of his disciples, says he led them up on a mountain. This is Matthew 17. They all were alone. Then in front of them, his appearance was changed. His is Jesus. His face shone like the sun. And this is when God comes out and says, "This is my son who I'm so pleased with." to the disciples. And so we see that his face was changed, his appearance was changed right in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. And so once again, they had that encounter, and there was a physical change in how he reacted. Joseph, in Genesis, when he gets put before Pharaoh, he goes before Pharaoh. He's been imprisoned, he's been a slave, and he's brought before Pharaoh to interpret dreams. And he's speaking on behalf of God, and he's telling Pharaoh the dreams. And so he had that encounter with God translate those dreams. He had translated those dreams for Pharaoh. He gets put in a very high power in Egypt at the time because of that. He's reflecting God's image because he's translating the dreams for Pharaoh on behalf of God. And he gets moved from imprisonment to being a high power official in Egypt. Deborah was the only female judge in the Old Testament when they were ruled by judges instead of kings. And she fights relentlessly to return the Israelites to worshiping the one and only God. And she does this nearly single-handedly with a kingdom of Israelites who have been influenced by the Canaanites. And so she has taken a whole people that have strayed from God, and she leads them back to being followers of the one true God, to worshiping the one true God and leaving behind the gods of the Canaanites. And so the question is, what does that look like in my life? So this is where we switch from mental, from physical reflection back to mental reflection. And so how do you reflect God? You have to think about it mentally, and then the physical reaction will happen as well. When you start thinking about how you're going to reflect God, people will start seeing it in you, and that's when your life will show God's love. And so for me, it means undoing those things that I said, looking at, why am I snapping at my kids and my husband? Why do I feel like I need to do that? Do I need more rest? Do I need more time with God? Do I need more time in Bible study? Do I need more time in my community? What is missing in my life that's causing me to be reactionary with those people that I'm closest to? Or maybe even the people I'm not closest to. Maybe other people around me. So it's about reflecting mentally on yourself so that you can find that. Do you need more time in prayer, in the Word, and things like that? It has a result that is also talked about in Scripture. And so something that comes from reflecting God's light is also wisdom. We gain more wisdom, we gain more insight, and we're able, it's self-perpetuating, like we're able to do that more because of the wisdom we get. And that's supported in Scripture. In Ecclesiastes 8:1, it says, "A person's wisdom makes their face bright. It softens the look on their face." So once I know why I'm not reflecting God's light, it softens the look on their face. I got the wisdom that tells me, okay, I've prayed about it. I've spent more time in the Word. I've sought counsel about it, whether it's a friend or my pastor or maybe professional counseling. But once I know why I'm doing that, it softens the look on their face. It makes the face bright. Then we can reflect the light of God. Once we know why we aren't reflecting the light, why are we refracting, then we can shift our perspective to being in reflecting the light of God. And then the example of this in Daniel, he said, "I've heard the spirit of the gods." Sorry, this is the king speaking to Daniel. And he said, "I've heard that the spirit of the gods is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom." And so Daniel's taken before the king. And so not only does he have that self-reflection, now it's showing and the king recognizes it too. Someone else is seeing it in him. So my challenge to you this week is to think about a different shift. Matt talked about shifting your prayer life last week and going from thy will, my will, to thy will. And so my challenge for you is to not just focus on the prayer life part of it, but also what you're putting out to others. How do you reflect God's light? Are you reflecting God's light? Do you need self-reflection to be able to show God's light to others? Are you focusing on worldly things, on busyness, on indifference, on apathy? Or are you focusing on where in your life you need improvement, why you are doing these things? Or are you at a place where you are reflecting God's light? Are you at that full reflection of God? Are you loving others well? And so as you think and pray and study this week, that would be my challenge to you, is to really think about where you're at and how you can get to that place of reflecting God's light in your life, so that you can live your life as thy kingdom come and not my will be done. So not just in your prayer life, but in your actions as well. All right. It was like children's sermon length today, kind of, because that's all I'm used to writing, right? We'll pray, and then I think the worship team's going to start again. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity for us to come together, Lord, and just reflect on you, whether it's through worship or through prayer, through teachings that we hear or that we teach to others. God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to reflect your light in our lives. I just pray that each person here can really reflect this week on where they stand in reflecting your love, God. Are they in a full refraction phase? Are they working to change that through prayer and through study, through meditation, through community, whatever it is, Lord? Or are they truly reflecting God's light? And I pray that the ones who are refracting, Lord, can find those areas to get back to you, God, to reflect your light and love others well. Thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to speak your word to everyone here today. And it's just in Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.